church friend, and we can have it without padding on the pews, without carpet in the floors, heating and air conditioning. You might think we can't have it without some of this stuff, but we can have it. We can have it without a pianist, and we can have it without a songbook. We can even have it without a Bible if we've hid His Word in our hearts. But we cannot have service without the Holy Ghost. It requires Him. You'll not worship without your worship in spirit and in truth. So it'll take the Holy Ghost if we're going to have church tonight. And I thank God for His anointing on the service this evening. I praise His name for that. Recently been going through a study of the book of 1 Samuel and noticing the unique use of the word anointed for the first time in the Bible throughout the book of 1 Samuel. Some of you men that's Bible studiers, get on that and study it. And boy, I'm telling you, it'll touch you. Or you'll find David an anointed man. Saul was not an anointed man, but David was an anointed man. They anointed him 3 times to be king. I mean, they didn't just anoint him once, Brother Michael. They anointed him 3 times to be king. I'll say you can't ever be too anointed. Amen. You can't ever be too anointed. If there's anything we need the anointing of God, the power of God. And I pray that the Lord would send it tonight. We certainly stand in need of His help. My voice is weak and my throat is sore, miserably sore tonight. So I'm going to give you what I've got on my heart. And I believe the Lord knows what He's doing, because what He's got laid on my heart, Brother Shannon, is a little bit of a different kind of thought than what we preached last night. And I want to try to help you with something, try to hopefully show you some things from the Word of God that maybe you've never thought about in quite this fashion that'll change your prayer life and change the way that you deal with your fellowship with God, or the time that you spend with God. How important it is that we spend time with the Lord and fellowship with Him and converse with Him and He with us. Oh, to walk with Him and talk with Him, to walk beside Him. I know that the song said right when you said that He walked beside us. But can two walk together except they be agreed? And we're not going to walk far without we converse, without we communicate. And that communication is so important. And so I want to try to give you something that will help you in your communication with the Lord. Very important. From the chapter 11 of the book of Luke, New Testament Gospel of Luke. Would you stand with us? We'll read the Word of the Lord. I'll read but one verse for sake of time this evening. And then we're going to be referencing passages concerning prayer all over the Bible. But primarily I'm interested in verse number 11, what the disciples said to the Lord. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. I'm interested in the phrase tonight where His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus had just finished His prayers, and the disciples, now it did not say that they were praying, it just said Jesus was. And after Jesus got done praying, I no doubt they sat and watched Him throughout His prayer time, and had done this time and time again, watched Him through His communication with His Father. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught His disciples. More, my friend, you see, has been wrought by prayer than by any other means that man has ever known. There can be no revival, no great soul-winning campaign without prayer. Prayerlessness is a crying-out-loud sin against God. And I dare say most of us, it's our greatest sin against God, the sin of prayerlessness. I mean, Luke 12 and 32 says that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. I mean, He longs for us to pray. It's His desire to help us and bless us and touch us and fellowship with us and communicate with us through prayer. I mean, said He knows our needs before we ask, the Bible says. And if He knows them before we ask, then why is it needful that we ask? Because God longs to hear man pray. And yet, in spite of His knowledge of our needs and our situation and where we are, our friend, He yearns and desires for us to call His name in prayer on a regular basis. I wonder some to say today, well, preacher, we're not living in the day Grandma had, and we don't have the power of God that they had, and we don't experience experience the great move of God and we're not receiving the glory of God like they did? Well, why not? Simply put, because we don't pray like they did. Amen. I mean, prayer is the key that unlocks the door to the power of God. And the reason why we don't have power is because we don't have prayer. Amen. And I'll say, everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody can't be a singer. Everybody can't play the instruments. But everybody can pray. Everybody that's been saved can have a powerful prayer life. I mean, prayer is not reserved to the D.L. Moody's and the Charles Haddon Spurgeons of the world. I mean, prayer is a tool accessible unto every child of God that's ever been born in the family of God. Everybody that's ever been saved has got the equal opportunity to have power in their prayer life and to have power of God through their communication lives in prayer. His disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Amen. Well, my friend, the biggest reason why the church in the modern age is cold, homes are divided, and lives are indifferent to the commands of God is because Christians have stopped praying. Amen. Great things happen when saved people pray. Amen. Oh, I'm glad there is power in prayer. Power to spare. Amen. I bless His name that God still answers prayers. I thank God that His ears are not heavy, that He cannot hear. Neither is His hand shortened, that He cannot save. Oh, but He said, your sins have separated you and your God. I'll tell you, friend, God still hears and answers prayers. I bless His high and holy name. And when they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, He gave them our model prayer. And we've called it the Lord's Prayer, but it's not. It's our prayer, friend. I mean, Jesus never prayed, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, because He had no debts. I mean, He had no trespasses. He had no sins. It's our prayer that He gave to us. Well, then, thank God. But the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. I want you to notice some things tonight about prayer. First of all, I want you to see from the Word of God the obligation of prayer. The obligation of prayer. Luke 18:1, the Bible said, Jesus began to speak unto them a parable again, and after this matter said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. They ought always to pray and not to faint. That word faint means to quit. It means to give out. It means to let up. I mean, God tells us not to faint or to quit praying or to let up praying or to give out praying. But that we ought always to pray. Why should we not faint? Because we ought always to pray. You see, that word ought means we have an obligation to. We ought to always pray. We ought to always be seeking the face of God. We ought to always have a spirit of prayer. We ought to pray without ceasing. Amen. That's right. And we've got an obligation to pray. You see, we should never faint in our prayer life. Because, friends, someone needs our prayers. Somebody's accounting on us to pray. Somebody may depend or be dependent on us. I mean, the few words you whisper to God may be what changes eternity for a lost soul. Maybe what keeps a preacher in the ministry. Maybe what keeps a church from splitting up. Maybe what keeps somebody safe through this walk of life. Folks are accounting on you that you might always pray and not faint. I wonder when's the last time God woke you up in the midst of the night and put you on your knees by your bedside and soaked your cheeks with tears in prayer for somebody that there's a standing need of. Maybe you didn't even know who you're
praying for. And even know what you're praying for. But God said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And somebody isn't depending on your prayers. I'll tell you, till we get to the glory world, we'll never know the impact that our prayers have had on other people. I mean, we may never know how to measure what our prayers have accomplished until we get to the other side of Jordan's River. Amen. I'll tell you, I may try to help you. Brother Chris, I might try to assist you. If you're in need, I'd do what I could. I mean, if you called, I'd help all that I could. But my resources is limited. My abilities are short. But thank God, prayer is not limited. And prayer is not short. God, and then I'm always to pray and not to faint. Hey, God, I believe the Bible said in James 5:16 that we ought to pray one for another that we might be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Surely we have an obligation to prayer. I mean, an obligation to prayer. Prayer is not limited. Thank God. All the power of prayer is at the access of every child of God. I mean, I've got the most powerful tool ever known to humanity at my access. There's not an atomic bomb as powerful as prayer. And I've got it at my access. Thank God. I've got the power of prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, and be not weary in well doing, friend. For a new season we shall reap. If we faint not, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Somebody said, I've been praying for 20 years for my lost husband. Been praying for 20 years for my children. Been praying all this time for this. And it ain't never come to pass. May I assure you that God still answers prayers. You'll reap in due season. If you faint not, you've got an obligation that you ought always to pray and not to faint. And if you'll do that, God will reward you. God will hear from heaven, send help on your behalf, intervene where you think it's a lost cause. Oh, thank God. Somebody said, there ain't no hope for me. You're in just the right place for God to intervene then. As long as you've got a hold on it and you've got a handle on it all, He won't work. But when you run out of options, that's when He steps in. You got saved tonight. You run out of options. Ain't that right, Brother Brock? That's what we preach about Sunday morning when conviction comes. I mean, until you get helpless and hopeless, you don't get in. I mean, it's when you run out of options. Amen. I'll tell you, when we're praying, somebody said, preacher, I've run out of options. There ain't no way for God to do nothing now. It's an impossibility. Well, you're in the right spot. Because, my friend, He's got a specialist degree in impossibilities. Amen. Thank God. And if we'll reap, and do see that if we're saying no. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So we've got an obligation to prayer. I want to show you, friend, the importance of prayer tonight. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Why did they see prayer as so important? Now you notice they never asked the Lord to teach them to preach. They never asked the Lord to teach them to sing. They never asked the Lord to teach them to break the bread and pass it amongst the 5,000. I mean, that'd be a skill I'd like to have. To take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and turn it into enough to feed that multitude. Folks, I mean, I believe I'd have been asking the Lord to teach me how to do that. But they saw prayer is more important than it all. That's the only thing I find in the Bible that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to do. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Why do they see it so important? Well, you see, some of them was John's apostles and disciples before they were Jesus' apostles. Amen. They saw John pray. I mean, they saw him pray. They knew John prayed. They saw Jesus pray. They read of where the prophets of old prayed. I mean, they knew if these great men, there's never a greater born a woman than John the Baptist. church. Jesus is the darling Son of God. I mean, Elijah prayed. Elisha and Isaiah. And if they prayed, those great men prayed. These disciples said, man, if that's a common theme amongst all these guys, then the key to our lives and the key to us having power is for us to be able to pray. And that's exactly what it is. Amen. That's right. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Important for Jesus to pray, John to pray, the Old Testament prophets to pray, then it's important for Peter and James and John and Andrew and all the rest of them to pray. And it's important for me and you to pray. That's right. I mean, friend, most of us here in this building, there's things in our lives we've set as standards in our lives, and I thank God for them. Wouldn't complain about them, not criticize them in the least. Matter of fact, if you won't just talk about it, chances are I got a long list of them that most of you wouldn't even know what to do with. Amen, that's right. Oh, but friend, that's not what gives a man power. I mean, friend, the importance of prayer. It's more important than anything that we know how to get in touch with God. How we know how to get a hold of God. I mean, prayer is more important than tithing. It's more important, my friend, than attending church. It's more important than patting your preacher on the back. Amen, that's right. I mean, if you'll have an active prayer life, God can work with your heart in such a way as to change all the rest of your life. If you'll have an active prayer life, well, my friend, if Jesus prayed, and John prayed, and the prophets prayed, and the apostle prayed, this important that we pray. It's important that we pray. Amen. Thank God. Oh, well, listen, friend. Jesus emphasized five times throughout the Word of God. The Word of God emphasizes that my house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen, that's right. He never called it a house of preaching. He never called it a house of praising. He never called it a house of singing. He never called it a Sunday school building. But He did call it a house of prayer. Now, I'm not opposed to those things. All in favor of those things. But I'll tell you, friend, prayer is what this house has been for. It's a house of prayer. He never required that we could preach. Never required that we could sing. Never required of us that you could teach Sunday school. But for every believer, He said they ought to pray and not to faint. So, my friend, that's important. That each of us knows how to get a prayer through. I not can do all the rest. But you can pray. Folks tell me when I was in a bad situation, Brother Michael, I've had them tell me that I can't do nothing else for you, but I'm going to pray. It almost sounds like I feel like they're falling mighty short by not being able to do nothing else but pray. Well, my friend, you couldn't do nothing greater than pray. I mean, there is no greater deed that you could perform for someone than to pray. I love that song that says, mention my name every day when you pray. Mention my name when you pray. Would you call and to speak for me when you're down on your knees? When you're talking with Jesus, would you mention me? If I had a desire in my heart tonight, it wouldn't be for $1 million or a new car, but it'd be that everybody that knew the value of prayer and the power of prayer would mention my name. Thank God. That's more important than those other things. Thank God that we know how to pray. Importance of prayer. The importance of prayer. I mean, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 told us to pray without ceasing. Hey, that doesn't mean always walk around your eyes shut. I mean, mumbling and carrying on, not willing to pay attention to what's going on around you. I mean, with your head stuck in the sand. Oh, friend, but it does tell us that nothing ought to be able to stop us from praying. I mean, friend, it's not words we utter or bent knees on our bodies, but it's an attitude of supplication. It's the attitude of the heart. Hey, it never will be convenient to pray. There is no convenient time to pray. It's never easy to pray. I mean, it's never, friend, convenient. But it's always proper. It's always possible. And it's always profitable when we pray. That's right. Somebody said they done took prayer out of schools. Well, if they have, it's because we quit praying then. Somebody said, well, this nation's quit praying. If it has, it's because we quit. Amen, that's right. I'll tell you, if we've ever needed prayer, we need her tonight. I'll tell you that. I mean, Lord God, when you're living in a nation where they remove, judge more, but retain them boys, they'll recognize this homosexual marriage. Amen, that's right. We're in need of prayer. Amen. I'll tell you, it's wicked and ungodly. And this nation's on a one-way sled to hell. Somebody said, we can't do a thing without it. Well, I preached last night, there's hope, because the third day, I'll say, friend, when we pray, we can access the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And God can work miracles.
Amen.
Great things happen when saved people pray. The importance of prayer. Nothing ought to stop us from praying. Pray without ceasing. Nothing. Boy, ain't it easy in your life for things to hinder your prayer life. Troubles come, you can still watch Oprah, but you can't get a prayer through. You ladies listening, you fellas, you can still hunt that deer. Hey man, you ain't got no problem catching that stinking bass, but you can't get a prayer through. It's amazing how much easier it is to hinder our prayer life than what it is our flesh, ain't it? I mean, somebody said, well, I'm sitting to pray, so all I can sit and do is gorge myself and eat. And I've got people, I run into folks every stinking day. And my friend, I don't know how it is over here in Georgia, Brother Shannon, but over where I'm from there in metro Atlanta area, everybody on earth thinks a pastor is supposed to be some sort of psychologist or some sort of head shrink or something or other. And God called me to preach. And they all want to tell me about all their troubles and how if these crazy people want to sit down and tell me how when they get to pray, they sit down and eat a quart of ice cream and want to just feel their bedders with junk when they ought to be a prayer. Didn't seem to kill their appetite none, but it sure did kill their prayer life. I mean nothing should stop us from praying. I mean, trouble comes, that ought to run you to your knees and not run you from them. Trials come, that ought to make you want to pray. Difficulties come, that's the time you need to get a hold of God. Nothing ought to stop us from praying. I'm not trying to pick on you tonight for eating a quart of ice cream. I'm not going to eat it too. If I just want a quart of ice cream, I'll just eat it. I mean, me and my little girl make a gallon of that homemade at the time. Between the two of us, we'll clean it out except for a butter bowl full. I mean, in one sitting, son. But it ain't cause them to pray us. If I got a need, I'm not running to an ice cream canister. That can't help me. I'm running to the Lord. Nothing ought to stop us from praying. Nothing. Pray without ceasing. The importance of prayer. Now listen, as a little child, I'd watch old timers pray. I'd watch them pray. And Rob, when I watched them pray, I'd see God move. Tell you about some little old ladies around our home church where I grew up. Some of them still living, some of them's dead, Brother Michael. When they prayed, I know God is going to do something. I just knew it was. It was just that simple. They prayed, so God is going to move. I'd seen it before. I knew it had happened before. I'd watched it before. And I knew God was going to move. That's right. Well, my daddy builds bridges for a living. I mean, friend, and he wants to be a church. He's choir director and things of church there, deacon. And a man among come revival time. He's working away from home, building a bridge way on the other side of the state, 5 hours away. And my friend, he knew he couldn't get back and forth in revival. He prayed, told one of the ladies of the church, Sister Elna Millines, he told her, I believe you know, Brother Michael. I said, if you would, said, pray that God would send rain our way. And it just rained us out all week so I can be in revival. As she prayed, as a tornado come through there and a flood come through there, and son, it tore his bridge down and washed the temporary bridge out and shut the road down. And it was 3 weeks before they could get a grain crew in there and get back to work. I mean, friend, I'm talking about prayer is a powerful tool of the old timers of prayer. And God would move. Somebody said, oh, I heard about that back in the 40s too. I'm talking about 10 years ago. I'm not talking about in the 40s. I'm saying God's still God. He's still on the throne. And we still ought to pray. Amen. I watched the old timers pray. And when they prayed, God would move. I watched Grace Shirley get on her face every Sunday all of my life and beg God to save her husband. Beg God to save him. We'd go visit him. He'd sick of dogs on us. Cuss us out. Meet us at the door with a gun. I mean, he hated us. Hated the church. Hated the Bible. One day went by his house. He invited us into the table. Sat down and wept and cried at the kitchen table. Sunday morning come and got saved. And later on he raised him a pumpkin. That was the largest one raised in the northern hemisphere. That is in the Guinness Book of World Records. Here's a spot now was smaller than some been raised in South America. But they come out there and took pictures of him. Had such a Channel 11 news crew out there for Shannon to take pictures of the pumpkin and do an interview around Halloween. And he refused to do an interview unless they'd let him sing. And he played a guitar and sing. And son, I ain't never heard nobody play guitar in my life. It didn't matter how fast the song was or how slow it was. He played just like this right here. How many times as he could beat them strings. Half the time it wasn't in tune. And he didn't have no half the words. But he sat down on top of the pumpkin. Put his guitar in his lap. Beat the fire out of that thing. And sang, he'll roll you over the tide. Amen, that's right. I'm telling you, we pray. God moves. Preaching moves people. Prayer singing moves people. Now prayer moves God.
Amen.
John the Beaver's a little boy. She'd come to church, weep, cry every service. Praying God to save her husband. We'd go visit him. And friend, I mean, as long as I can remember. When I was just a little kid, following my granddad, his pastor for church around, he'd go visit him, he'd tell us that then. I got grown man, started preaching. I'd go by and see him, he'd tell me the same thing. He said, I don't believe there is a God. I don't believe there is a hell. I don't believe there is a heaven. I believe it's all a bunch of junk. I appreciate you guys coming by. You nice guys. He didn't mistreat his family, didn't do bad things to him. I mean, he was a good old boy, but he was on his way to hell, and for 20 years, he just said, I don't even believe there is a God. And my friend, he didn't care. Everybody just give up on him. But Miss Fonda kept on praying. One Sunday morning he come to church to hear her sing. He'd come from time to time to make her happy. He loved his wife and his family. I mean, he wasn't a bad guy. Oh, but he just wasn't saved and didn't believe. And believe it or not, Brother Michael, a man of God, preached that morning on tithing. The whole service he preached on tithing. Somebody said, ain't nobody going to get in today. By the time the service is over with, there's a run in the aisles and a screaming bloody murder. Shouting the glory of God. Brother Lewis done come got in. Amen. Done got saved. Somebody said, oh, it's a lost cause. I'll tell you, friend, great things happen when God's people pray. Nothing should stop us from praying. Pray without ceasing. The importance of prayer. I remember watching the old timers pray. God moved. Brother Michael, I've read about Moody and Torrey and Spurgeon, Wesley, Billy Sunday. I mean, I've read about Charles Finney. The power of God coming down. Right. It followed the congregations in such a way that they'd run to the altars under conviction and get saved. They say that Robert Sheffield and Jonathan Edwards were said to pray all night on a fairly regular basis. And when they preached, they could feel the flames of hell lapping at their feet. People said to hear Jonathan Edwards preach. Now, he wasn't like me. He didn't scream. He didn't holler, run around. He would read off his sermon off a piece of paper in a monotone voice, and people had to strain to hear him. And when he preached, he'd preach in such a manner that they said they felt like he was dangled out over hell on a rotten thread. I mean, you know where it come from? That wasn't because he was a dynamic speaker, because he was a charismatic personality. My friend, it's because he had power of God that he accessed through prayer. That's right, friend. I'm telling you, there ain't much in this world more important than prayer. Daniel prayed three times a day. Peter and John went up in the book of Acts chapter 3 at the temple at the hour of prayer and to seek the face of God. Boy, I've seen times, friend, when my granny prayed, and I knew when granny prayed, God was going to move. Nothing more important than prayer. Where has God ever done anything great for His people until they first prayed? Where? We can't even get saved without prayer. Then the whole reason you even found a God was through prayer. I mean, you can't even get saved without prayer. Somebody said, I believe the Lord saved me when I stepped out. Now, He might have. But prayer is a sincere desire of the heart. It's not the words uttered from the voice. That's right. Prayer, friend. Can't even get saved without it. God has never done anything great for God's people without prayer. Prayer. Without prayer. Matter of fact, friend, we can do no more until we've prayed. I've heard some folks say that when I've done all else I can do, I can still pray. I'll say something else to you. You can't do nothing else till you pray. I mean, the things you do are useless without God anoints it, without God touches it, without God seasons it, without God multiplies it. My friend, until you prayed, you can't exceed the power of prayer until you first prayed. You can't do nothing more than pray until you prayed. Crying out loud sin against God, prayerlessness, has resulted in weaknesses and the soft spots in the rest of our lives for the devil to creep in and take advantage of us. And we're immature in Christ, and we're weak in the Spirit of God, and our lives are empty and void of the Holy Ghost because we're weak in prayer. That's right. We've forgotten how to humble ourselves, how to get on our faces before God, get a hold of the glory of the Lord. When's the last time you prayed and you know God heard your prayer? Talking about you said some pretty words and said some nice things. I mean, they said about Robert Sheffield, and I told someone about this last night. I love this. It said about him. It said on the side of the road here. One of his friends gave him, when he was just a young preacher, gave him a sheepskin. And he'd take that sheepskin off his old mule. He'd go up on top of the hill. And Brother Chris, he'd lay that sheepskin down. And he'd sit there for 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 hours and pray on that sheepskin. And, well, the folks thought he was crazy. He applied for his license with the organization of the day, which at the time was the Presbyterians. And they denied him his license to preach because he said he had such odd and peculiar ways. He said, what exactly do you mean by that? They mentioned 2 or 3 other things. But they said they've seen you on the side of the road sometimes praying for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 hours at a time. And he said, we find that odd and disturbing. He said, besides that, folks that have heard you pray say that when you pray like you're talking directly to God. Robert Sheffield stood there just a minute. Turned back and looked at the gentleman and said, well, sir, to whom is it you speak when you pray? Amen. That's right. I'll tell you what we need today again is a return to a prayer life where we communicate with God and get a hold of the glory world. It'd change the rest of your life if God had strengthened your prayer life. Right. I'll say to you, prayer is more important than singing. Prayer is more important than Sunday school. Prayer is more important than the sermon. I know some of you preachers won't even like that, but prayer is more important. You can't pray, preach till you pray. I mean, prayer is more important than your sermon. I mean, friend, no singer can sing under anointing without prayer. Without prayer, the singing's dead. No Sunday school, no matter how talented a teaching, no matter how well prepared the lessons are, no matter how good a literature you got, or how educated in the Word of God, none of that can avail without prayer. No sermon is any good, no matter how well alliterated, how masterfully be prepared, how emotionally and motivationally delivered, without it is saturated with prayer. Prayer. No parent is capable of raising a family without prayer. Prayer is more important to your family than providing a living. More important to your family than a roof over your head and shoes on your feet. Prayer is more important for your family, ladies. Mama, prayer is more important for them babies than cooking and cleaning and washing. Right, Mama, hey, you've been doing a pretty good job keeping her hair combed and clothes clean. I wonder if you kept up the most important thing for your young'uns. When's the last time your young'uns heard you pray and call their name important in any of that. Any of that. Mama, when's the last time them babies bounced on your knees? And while they bounced there, they didn't hear you sit there talking on the phone and gossiping and carrying on. You wasn't worried about what tomorrow's going to bring. But while they sat there and they was just playing in their own world, they heard Mama begging and calling out to God for their needs and begging God to save them youngins. Well, I'm telling you, prayer is more important than anything else in the home, friend. Daddy, prayer is more important than being the head of the house or working hard. Oh, friend, prayer is more important than those things. The old song they used to sing was, if I could hear my mother pray again. But we don't hear sung much more because mamas ain't a-praying. But oh, God, my mother, Daddy ain't nothing more important in the home than prayer. Lord, teach us to pray as God taught His disciples. The importance of prayer. I want to tell you something. Somebody said, preacher, I've been praying. I want to tell you something, friend. Prayer can't be hid. Prayer cannot be hid. I'm telling you, it can't be hid. I know Jesus said, put yourself in your prayer closet and get withdrawn from the world and pray in secret. But He said, he that prayeth in secret, God will reward them openly. Prayer cannot be hid. If you're a prayer warrior, it'll show up on you. Prayer. The obligation of it, the importance of it. I want you to notice the power of prayer. Now, there's a glare on that clock back here, so I don't know how long I've been preaching. But it's an hour later for me than it is any of y'all in hell, ain't it? The power of prayer. Power of prayer. How you going to measure it? You're going to quantify it. I mean, we're living in a day today where they want to quantify things. I mean, man will go just about any stretch, try to quantify things, put a number and tag on it so they can measure it in some way. I mean, we measure air. I mean, if you measure air, you can measure anything. We measure air. I mean, we don't really know what. Who in the foot knows what a horsepower is? Isn't one horse a little more powerful than another? Yet we measure things in horsepower. I mean, we rode down through Coleman Bay looking at some animals, some old cars and things, and some of them had ratings on there how many horsepower there was. And whose horses they're talking about? I mean, we go to a stretch to try to quantify things. How are you going to quantify the power of prayer? How are you going to measure it? What kind of canister are you going to put that in and try to find out how it measures up? What kind of table are you going to use? The power of prayer. I mean, prayer is just as big as God is. That song's right. Prayer is as big as God is. Prayer is as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray, just pray. Thank God, I thank God for the power of prayer. God bless you. The power of prayer is best demonstrated under pressure. Power of prayer is best demonstrated under pressure. We're in a pretty good position to pray because we are in a pressure cooker microwave society. I mean, son, we hadn't got some of the things pressing on us that our forefathers had. And ain't many of us to go home and not watch chickens run around up under our house. Worry about the rain hitting us on the forehead while we're laying in the bed. Amen. But we're living in a day of stress, and the world's cranked it down on us. We're living in a day of deadlines. Living in a day of everybody wants everything yesterday and they want it now and they want it the way they want it and they want you to give it to them or else. That's right. And it's on our jobs and it's crept into our homes and God forbid it's crept into the relationship between men and their wives and the parents and the children and pastors in the church. We're working under pressure. But the power of prayer is best demonstrated under pressure. And so if that be the case, we're in the best place we've ever been in to pray. I mean, this is the best day and age there has ever been to pray. If the power of prayer is demonstrated under pressure, I mean, right now is the time we ought to be praying the most. That's right. thing the Bible tells us on down here later in this chapter concerning prayer. Says that there's three stages of it. Verse number 9 said, I say unto you, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. There's three stages of prayer given. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Asking is simply a petition to God. Seeking is persistence in prayer. Knocking, my friend, is praying under pressure. I mean, he gives us the illustration, gives us the picture, my friend, of a fellow just standing at the door, and he's a knocking, and he's a knocking and knocking. Lord, not too loud, he's getting desperate, and he's a beating on the door and a begging somebody to answer. He's already asked. He's sought it out. He's at the door of God. He's a knocking on the way to the throne room. He's getting sincere, getting under pressure, and getting in need. I'll tell you, when you get to where your prayer life is more than a few words uttered at night, before you lay your head on your pillow and you begin knocking on the door of God and sincerely get under pressure and eyes with God, that's when God will step in and the power of prayer will be made known.
Amen.
That's right. And when your efforts are gone, that's when God just kicks in.
Amen.
Weakness, you're made strong. Hallelujah. And it takes the weak and beggarly elements of the world and uses them to confound the wise.
Right.
The Word of God talks about that. Chapter number 11, Jesus tells in verse 5, we're in here, same chapter, verse number 5, still concerning prayer. He gives us the illustration of a man knocking on the door for bread from a friend. We find the pressure of being short. The pressure, in my friend, of being in search of bread. The pressure of being in search of bread. He's a knocking on the door of a friend. And the friend, my friend, had to get out of bed. He said he knocked on the door, knocked on the door, knocked on the door. And the man didn't want to rise up out of his sleep. But he just kept on knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. I mean, he is persistent. He is under pressure. He is in need. And the man came to the door. And he answered the door. No, he said, I've got a friend that's come by and I ain't got no bread to feed him. Would you lend me 3 loaves? And he gave him the loaves, my friend. I tell you, friend, if the man hadn't answered the door, this other fellow's pressure enough, he'd have knocked her down. I'll tell you, when we get to that place, God will hear our prayers. That's where we were, by the way, when God saved us. We're saved, hey, I've come to the Lord, and it didn't take him long to save me. But I stayed at the door until he opened it up. Amen. Thank God. Hey, what I didn't know, Brother Michael, it seemed to understand was his knocking on the other side, while I was knocking on this side. Thank God, but thank God when the door was open, there's a blessed fellowship. Well, when you get pressured for a shortness of bread, somebody said it had been a long time since I fellowship with God, and I just can't feel God nowhere. And I pray and I can't get a hold of the glory world. Are you really under pressure? Have you been on your knees and are beating on the door? Oh, God, I need you. Open the door, open the door. Fellowship with me. I said you love on me. Show your spirit unto me. I mean, are you really pressured by shortness of bread? Knock on the door. He'll open her up. And there'll be bread. There's a song I fell in love with, Brother Rob, and I've shared it with your folks when I was down there. Welcome to you. Some of them here tonight may know it. Boy, it just does something to me. Often I go to my altar and to get down on my knees. And if I don't take my mind off of this world, he won't hear me. And to find myself saying just a multitude of words, and to leave my altar knowing in my heart I've not been heard. But there's been a few times, there's been a few times I felt His presence, and in the Spirit I've talked with Him. There's been a few times, there's been a few times, so I'll keep going back and going back again. Since the moment He forgave my sin and saved my soul from hell, He blessed my life, my family, more than this tongue can tell. And I failed Him so many times, not doing what I know to do, but He always forgave me each time when I prayed through. There's been a few times, there's been a few times I felt His presence, and in the Spirit I talked with Him. There's been a few times, there's been a few times, so I keep going back and going back again. I'll tell you them times when the Holy Ghost comes down, touches my heart. I know I've got through to the glory world. I mean, I didn't talk to Him. I talked with Him. That means we had a conversation. He talked to me and I talked to Him. I'm glad for them few times. Oh, I bless His name. Another 7-1 trip to the woods. I'm beside a tree to talk to Jesus. His word 10 trips that way. I still get one dime and He asked me and talk with my Lord. I'm glad He'll open the door and give me some bread. I bless His name. Are you under pressure? When's the last time you prayed out of the power of God? I knew you got through to the glory world. Under pressure for zeal, the search for bread. The pressure of being surrounded will get you through to God. It'll help you get under pressure to pray. 2 Kings chapter 19, Sennacherib sent to Jerusalem. Sent Hezekiah word to surrender or die. And he mocked the deliverance of God. Amen. But that night Hezekiah was pressured to pray. And my friend, all night long, every light in Jerusalem was turned off but two. And Hezekiah and Isaiah had their lamps burning. And there's a calling on God. And I'm sitting around while everybody else was asleep. The Lord stayed up all night to hear their prayers. Hallelujah! And sent the death angel by the camp of the Assyrians and slew 185,000 men and set deliverance. Somebody said, pressure, preacher, I'm under pressure. I'm in a difficult state. I'm fighting a great battle. I'm surrounded by the enemy. You're in a perfect position to pray. God will send deliverance. Asking, seeking, and knocking under pressure. That's right. Prayer. Power is being shown under pressure. Acts 12 shows us the pressure of being sentenced. Peter's in jail. Supposed to die the next morning, ain't he? But the church meets over at John's house. John Mark. And they begin praying. God sends an angel by and gets old Peter. Okay, the angel brings Peter by over there and drops him off at Mark's house. He knocks on the door and one of them comes out there and looks and slams the door in his face. He gets so excited. Runs back inside the house, says Peter's out there. Left him and said, you've lost your mind. It's a ghost is what it is. They done killed him probably. Story I read in the paper. Back about 15 years ago, there's a bar in Houston, Texas. They don't have no zoning laws. And man, it's crazy out there. You'll see a strip club right next to a church. It's right next to a little league field or school or what. I mean, just you don't have bar district and the residential district. It's just all mixed up. Strange, man. It's really strange. And there's an old church had an old drunken booze joint move in across the road from them there. And that church was real bothered by it. And son, had to be out there still when it was coming in for church on Sunday morning. Drunks would be laying out in the yard of the church, vomiting, running out of their mouth. Just a mess around there. And the church got all burned about that. And they began to pray. They prayed and they prayed and they put a piece of the paper and told others to pray that God would work, do something. Churches started praying. No, it's come a thunderstorm, lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. To the ground. The bar owner brought a lawsuit against the church. was their fault that the bar burned down. The church said, we don't know what he's talking about. We didn't have nothing to do with it. The judge, what I liked about the story, the judge quoted in the paper, he said, however this case turns out, said, I don't know what will come of it. And I still don't know whatever did come of it. Yes, I saw it. But he said, whatever might come of it, how it'll turn out, but said, whatever comes of it, one thing for sure we found out by this. The bar owner believes in prayer, and the church folks don't. Right. Well, there is power in prayer. God will enact in our case. God will come on the scene for us. God will make things work out for our benefit. Great things happen when God's people pray. That's right. When you get under pressure, God will work. When you get under pressure, God will intervene. I mean, it's seeing that God deals with you. I mean, you get under sentence. I mean, sometimes it's easier to pray than it is to believe. But if you're in a shape where you can't believe, don't stop praying. Them folks at Mark's house didn't really believe. But they didn't stop praying, and God worked on their behalf. That man that came to Jesus with his dumb boy, filled with the dumb spirit, at all times Satan threw him in the fire and in the water and tried to kill him. He told the Lord, the Lord said, do you believe? He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, I really don't believe like I ought to, Lord. But it didn't stop him from praying, did it? And God acted on his behalf. That's right. The pressure of being sentenced. I mean, friend, I'm talking about the pressure of being shortened. Joshua chapter number 10 tells the house of Joshua and the children of Israel was near in the end of the day in battle. And Joshua prayed, oh God, stop the sun, friend. Oh God, stop the sun. And the Bible said the Lord stopped the sun and gave him extra hours added unto the day. And now I know scholars have debated about this. And the sun does not rotate around the earth. And the earth spins and causes the cycles of the sun to come around. But listen, friend, to what has to happen. I mean, friend, remember that when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I mean, Joshua didn't know how this thing worked. All he knew was he needed the sun. He prayed for God to stop the sun. And God knew what his was talking about and gave him what he needed. And sometimes I don't know exactly what it is I need. But thank God when I pray, the Holy Ghost takes my prayers, translates them to the Son. The Son answers them according to the blood. The Father sends His angels on my behalf. And prayers are answered. Well, yes, and His answers are wiser than my prayers. That's right. Think about what God had to do to answer His prayer. To say that if one planet were to stop in its orbit for only 30 seconds, the whole solar system would fly into collision. It would throw off the gravitational pull of the entire solar system, creating a nuclear explosion with the sun at its center, disintegrating all the planets and the inhabitants thereof. If just one planet were to come out of its rotation for 30 seconds. If he's going to stop the sun, what has he got to do, Brother Michael? In order to help Joshua, one man's prayer, in order to stop the sun, he's got to stop the earth, all the other planets, every star in the heavens. I mean, he's got to stop the rotation of the moon. Every one of them 16 moons of Jupiter's got to be stopped. I mean, everything in the whole universe was put on hold for one man when he prayed. Somebody said, oh, I wish I could do that. God is no respecter of persons. And great things happen when God's people pray. And if God stopped the universe for Joshua, He'd do it for you and me. Do you understand the power of this tool? I'm telling you, it's your access tonight. The power of prayer. Oh, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. If there's anything we need God to teach us to pray. Sure. Being sick caught Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20. He's just about to die. Isaiah said, set your house in order, you're going to die and not live. Turned his face toward the wall and began to pray. And God added unto him 15 years. I want to talk to you about the answer to prayer. I'm closing with this. The answer to prayer. By the way, God still answers prayer. God still answers prayers. Prayer, you see, is communication. It requires two people, at least. It requires a petition and an answer. A while back, I was out of town on a business trip, Brother Shannon, and I called home to speak to my wife. And like as usual is the case, she was going shopping. And seeing how much money she could spend. And friend, when I called home, all I got was an answer machine. And I left a message on the answer machine. She called, and I was gone out for a meeting that night. And she left a message there at the hotel on the answer machine there. When I got back, she'd gone and spent the evening with her sister at her house. And I called them, and I left a message at her house. And my friend, we was doing our best to get in touch with one another. I mean, we was going through the right routes. I mean, we was in the right position. Brother Shannon, I picked up the receiver. I dialed through the credit card number, and I dialed it right. I punched out all that 17 stinking digits they want you to dial when you use a stinking calling card. It's a pain in the neck. And I dialed every one of them. And then I got through to my voicemail at home. And the voicemail at home wanted me to push one to leave a message and all this mess. And finally got to leave a message. I went through all the semantics. I held the receiver right. I was doing everything right, but there's no answer on the other end. What we're doing was leaving messages, and there wasn't no communication taking place. About midnight, the phone rung, and she was on the other end, though. Voice on the other end then. And now there's a two-way communication going on. You see, prayer is not about the position that you get in. It's not about whether or not you're on your knees or standing on your feet. Matter of fact, there's one fellow. It's talking about being shortened or pressured. A fellow I read about years ago said there's these three guys standing around discussing what's the best position to pray in. One of them said, you ought to be on your knees, humbling before God, praying out, calling on God, agonizing for the Lord. No, he said, God's our Father, and we're His children. We all stand on our feet, lift our head up in the air, look toward the sky, and talk to God as a child and talk to his Father. No, it's that fast. I don't know nothing about them positions, but I'm telling you the best praying I ever had, best praying I ever did when I was climbing a telephone pole with Georgia Power. I fell from that thing, was hanging 18 feet up there by 1 foot upside down for 6 hours, and I ain't never got a prayer through like I did then. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, it's not the position you get in. Prayer is communication between you and God. And when you request and you talk, God answers.
Amen.
Amazes me at the Christian folks that don't believe God speaks to His younguns. God didn't quit talking to me the night I got saved. I mean, that's how I got in, was the Holy Ghost convicting me and communicating with me. That's how I got in. That's how I knew I was in, was when He confirmed it with me in my heart. He didn't quit talking to me that night. Talks to me more now than he did then. Seeing the skies roll back and hearing speakers out of the Bose quality coming from the glory world. But I thank God He communicates with me through the Spirit man.
Amen.
Prayer is communication.
Amen.
And God answers prayer. God answers prayers two ways. He answers them in your hand and He answers them in your heart. You see, some of our prayers and answers to our prayers are given in our hands immediately. We begin to see the change that's made in everything immediately in our hands. And Brother Rob, God answers them, but He answers them in our heart. And He confirms to us that they're going to take place. But He just tells us to watch and see. Down in our souls, it hadn't come to pass. Oh, it hadn't been seen. The rest of the world don't know about it. But you've been where God is. The Holy Ghost confirmed down in your heart. And you know that someday what God's promised is going to come to pass. I pray every night for them young as a man. And they're not saved, and it may be years on down the road before God saves them. But I believe down in my soul that God's confirmed that someday it will come to pass. Wow! Bless His name. I'll tell you, He answers them in your hands. He answers them in your heart. But God answers prayer. Says yes. Like getting Peter out of prison. Says wait. Because He knows the right time. Like a boy begging for a gun at Christmas when he's 3 years old. But they know he's not safe with it. He'll get his gun, but he must wait. Time God says wait. God answers with a resounding no. No is as sure as His yes. Somebody said, oh, I've been praying, but don't seem like God wants to say yes. Must not mean I'm in tune with God. I reckon the Apostle Paul was in tune, wasn't he? But when he said, Lord, take away the thorn, God said no. God doesn't say no because He hates you, because He dislikes you, because He don't want to answer your prayers, because He doesn't want to help you. He says no because He knows what's best for us.
That's right.
There are times God says no to spare us from our own desires, lest we get something we really don't want and really don't need. And I thank God that the Lord's in the no as much as He is in the yes. Now bless His name for the times He said no. A lot of troubles in my life spared the times that He said no. I'm done preaching. You come on with a song. Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. You know what? I want to say something right here. And if you missed everything else I've said to this point, write this one down in your book. If you put up your notes, write this down. This is more important than anything I've said in the whole sermon. That's why I'm saying it last. Prayer is not an art. Prayer is a discipline. Art is creativity that's slung together on a moment's notice at the feeling and whim of the individual. A discipline is something that's done on a regular basis with practice, with intensity, with care, with concern. Prayer is not an art. Somebody said, I'm just not the prayer warrior that so-and-so is. You can be if you want to be. It is not an art. It does not take skill. It takes discipline. Lord, teach us to pray. They did not say teach us how to pray. That would be teaching an art.